what's going on in the Hope Centre this morning. It's pretty cold, and I bought this nice warm jumper, and just before I came to stand here, I spilt some coffee down it, so I hope you can't see. But this is a top that Kane Taylor, the vicar of St Mary's in Weldon, gave to me. So if you're confused by the logo, it's not the logo of Hope Church, it's the logo of St Mary's. But we're in this together, aren't we? And what I just value so highly and prize as something that's precious is the unity that has developed between the ministers of the town, across the churches, across the denominations. And we believe that what God's building in Corby and the surrounding villages is bigger than any one church. We pray that his kingdom will come through his people, that his people will be signs, demonstrations, the love, the compassion, the kindness that the people of God have will be a sign to the world, especially during this time of how amazing our God is. So thank God for that. Just to let you know also that what was said in the chat earlier, this is a really serious point about Maggie being right. That's usually the case. And so so she's saying amen. But yeah, sorry about the confusion with all of that. It was one of those things where there's a last minute change and the information was written down differently in different places. Just one of those things. But hopefully you've all got the information you need now. A guy called Adam Ramsey. By the way, Ramsey, if you're watching, God bless you, my friend. Adam Ramsey, a pastor in Australia, recently wrote these words. Could it be that this time of distancing has accomplished for us the necessary strategic withdrawal that many of us were hesitant to take? Could it be that the very pressure and stretching that we're all experiencing is merely the divine hand drawing the slingshot back in order to propel us further into his redemptive plan than any of us could have ever strategized or imagined? Wow. I read those words and something in me was like, yes. Because I believe that God's teaching us some really important things. Somebody said to me this week that 2020 felt like the classroom where we were going to learn some things for when God does the next things that he's going to do. We don't understand completely all of the things that he's showing us, but what it has caused us to do over this past 9 months is to draw closer to God, to reach out to him when all of the answers from the government and the medical professional and the scientific community, all of the places we would normally go to for answers, when those answers haven't been forthcoming because they don't have the answers. This was a brand new landscape. God has the answers, and he is the safe place and the refuge to whom we run. And today we're going to continue our series called Reset. And we just sensed at the end of last year that God was bringing us to a place at the beginning of 2021, but this isn't just a New Year's thing, where we reset our lives on the truth of who God is. And we understand again his purposes for our lives as individuals, but also as a church family. Last week we talked about Peter and how Peter was somebody who was all in for God, but then made some bad judgments and denied Jesus and drifted away. And then Jesus in his resurrected form came and found Peter, met him where he was, reinstated him, reset his life on the truth of who God is and who God says he was. And then he began this ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, which began a movement that spread across the world till today millions, maybe even billions of people name the name of Jesus. So today we're going to be in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. And today we're going to talk about resetting our love for his church, resetting my love for his church. It might be that you've been feeling lately because of lockdown and this new lockdown, things seem a bit more serious now, don't they? And it feels like this virus is getting a little bit closer. And we've heard today that some of Richard's family have now got COVID. It feels like this lockdown is more serious in some ways than the last lockdown, and that this new virulent strain is spreading faster. And we believe, of course, as Jesus' followers, that this life isn't all there is. And, you know, even if death does overtake us, we have this hope that beyond this life, we are going to see Jesus face to face. And in this life, we have his divine hand of protection on us, not always to stop us getting ill, but certainly to walk with us through every trial that we face. And so at the beginning of 2021, as we think about resetting not only our relationship with God, but our relationship to the church, we're going to read in this passage, Romans 12, a summary, really, of the gospel and how it outworks in the community of believers. We're going to read the whole passage, and it should be up there on your screen if you don't have a Bible to hand. By the way, if you're not a Christian and you're tuning in today, welcome. We are so glad you're with us. We've had many people join us over the last few months who wouldn't necessarily say that they're part of the Hope Church family. If that's you, you're so welcome, and we're glad you're here with us this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, these are Paul the Apostle's words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and in doing this you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that amazing? Let's just pray. Wow, Lord, your word is amazing. Lord God, my heart was stirred even as I was reading those words, Lord, and we thank you that these words are true. And if we put them to practice in our lives, Lord, with the help of your Spirit, Lord God, these words are life-changing. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as we come under the authority of your word, you will teach us, equip us, challenge us, exhort us to live this kind of life as a community of believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it might be that for the last 9 months or however long it's been since the original lockdown, because life has not been the same, church life especially has been very, very different, that even though you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian and you love Jesus with all of your heart, you love his church, you want to serve him, you want to reach the lost, it might be that during these last few months you've struggled to think, well, how do I participate in what God is doing in his church and through his church? How do I do more than observe during this season? How can it be more than desire? How can this desire turn into a reality? How do I step out of the stands and into the game? How do I stop watching the story and step into the story? How do I use my God-given abilities to serve God and serve others? Well, Paul in Romans chapter 12 exhorts the church, and an exhortation is a call to action. He's exhorting the church in Romans chapter 12, probably during a time of persecution, because he mentions persecution a little bit further down, where they are facing difficulties like most churches did back then, and still most churches do today, some worse than others. Paul is exhorting them to a life of faithfulness. He's calling them to a love that is authentic and real. And he keeps coming back to this theme of love as the greatest criteria for the follower of Christ. But before we jump into that, let's look right at the beginning of this chapter just to set everything in context. So he begins by saying, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." Now, it's interesting. Paul uses the word urge. He could have used the word command. And this isn't, the word urge isn't just another word for command in the original. He didn't use the word command, even though he could have as an apostle. He used the word urge because he wanted the response that came next to be a willingly given response. I urge you, brothers and sisters. Now listen to this next phrase. In view of God's mercy. And what we need to understand is that for the previous 11 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been carefully, diligently, beautifully laying out the truth of who God is and what he has done in sending his son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place. And so what we have learned in broad strokes is that God loves us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And that we are justified not by our works. We're not made right by the good things that we do. The good things that we do don't earn our way into heaven or make us more acceptable to God. No, it's by faith that we are made right with God because of the finished work of Jesus. Everything that we have has been given to us as a gift from our Father. And that means that we don't have the room to be proud or to be puffed up and to say, "Hey, look at me." What we do is we recognize that we're sinners on the one hand, but loved on the other. That we have fallen short of God's glory, but we are accepted in Christ. And that keeps our lives in this place where we are not proud, but we also don't hate ourselves because we are the beloved of Christ. And so he says, I urge you in view of all of these amazing things about who God is and what Jesus has done, in view of his mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. What he's saying is, in view of the truth that I've just spelled out to you about your amazing salvation, there needs to be some outworking of this now in your life. And this is how Paul writes his letters. He starts with these grand vistas of theological truth that then lead into practical everyday application. And this is where it transitions to that. So he has painted the picture of our amazing salvation, laid out doctrinal and theological truths, and now he's saying, in view of God's mercy, because he's been so amazingly kind and generous and good to you, because of Jesus' death and his sacrifice and his resurrection, the fact that he has given you his spirit and now you can live in the power of the Holy Spirit, in view of his mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. And he's talking about worship. And just before we move on, because there's a lot to say, the word offer there is so beautiful, because an offering is something that's given as a sacrifice. Most sacrifices in the Old Testament, most of the people at that time would have known about temple worship and sacrifices. Most religions would have had a form of it back then. But every sacrifice that was given dead. And this is a place where God is asking for a living sacrifice. That means that we have to offer ourselves willingly, give ourselves to God willingly, give our body, our soul, our spirit, our whole being to him in worship. It says this is our acceptable, this is our true and proper worship is pleasing to God. But to offer ourselves, what does that mean? I heard a story of a lady who had just bought a dog from a rescue place. And she was walking the dog through the city on a leash. And the dog was pulling and pulling and wanted to just kind of get away from her new master. And so everywhere she went, this dog was just pulling and wanted to get away and run fast and run far. And over the weeks, this pulling persisted, but the lady felt like she got to know the dog. The dog had a bit of love for her, and she had some love for the dog. And so she decided on this one occasion that she would let the dog off the leash. And true to form, the dog ran off into the distance beyond where she could see, and she was a bit concerned, but she just continued along the path. She just kept walking until, in time, the dog, just as fast as it had run away, came running back to her and obviously had been frightened by something. But then something really exciting happened. The dog, instead of pulling, began to walk by her. She had always been the dog's master. But the dog had unwillingly been led by this master, this new master. But now there was a time when this dog had offered herself to her new master, to walk with her new master, not grudgingly, but willingly. And that's the same kind of thing. Religion causes us to respond to God out of fear that if we're not good enough and we don't do enough good things, then he will punish us, or we won't be loved or accepted. And Paul has been at great lengths in the previous chapters to say you are loved and you are accepted because of the finished work of Jesus. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer willingly your lives, your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your worship to him. And so we don't just worship God in the singing of songs. What this is saying is, in your everyday lives, in your going to the shop and you're spending time with your family and you're going to work, your everyday ordinary moments of life, you can offer yourself to God as an act of worship. Worship is much bigger than the singing of songs. He's saying, because of these amazing truths, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves completely to God. And this is holy, and this is pleasing to him. And what this looks like is that you won't be like a chameleon, and when you're in the world, just become like the world. That's an outward conforming to the environment around us. People are tempted to do that, and it's usually based in fear. It's because we want to conform, we want to be like everyone else. But when God gets hold of our lives, when Jesus is the truth of the gospel takes root in our inner man, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we understand who we are in him, our inner man is changed, strengthened. We understand more who we are, and so we don't conform to the outside. In fact, our inner world, our mind is transformed as it is renewed in Christ. So all of that is the context to what comes next. Paul is saying, give yourself completely to God. He gave himself completely for you. And the appropriate act of worship now is to give yourself completely to him. And so in verse 3, Paul talks about this grace given to him, his apostleship. And he says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And the thing is, before Paul goes into the practical stuff, he's saying, listen, you have got no room for boasting. As you think about your place in the church and in the body of Christ and your role, the role that God has given you in the body of Christ, there is no room for boasting. Because everything that you have been given has been given to you as a gift. You can't say, hey, look at me. Look how amazing I am. You can't put yourself on a pedestal or a platform and say, look at me, admire me. All you can do is say, the grace that is in me is grace given by God. It is a free gift, and all of the glory needs to go back to him. And it's really interesting that he begins by addressing the pride potentially in the Roman church, because pride kills, pride destroys. And so he says, don't think too highly of yourself. And sometimes our thoughts about ourselves can be too lofty. But also, he says, think of yourself with sober judgment. Think accurate thoughts about yourself. In other words, understand who God says you are. Yes, you are a sinner, saved by grace, but you are the beloved of Jesus. That means that you can't think too loftily of yourself, but it also means that you can't hate yourself. You are the beloved in Christ. And if either of those truths haven't taken root in your life, that you aren't the great I am, but you are also not somebody to be loathed because of sin, you are the beloved in Christ. If either of those truths haven't taken root in your heart, then the gospel hasn't entered into our inner being. This is not a performance-based thing. It's not a fear of failure thing. We are loved and accepted in Christ. And so in verse 4, he goes on. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Let's just pause on a few words there. He loves this metaphor, the Apostle Paul, of the body, to describe the church. And our body is made up of different parts, isn't it? Head, eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hands, elbows, knees, inner organs, all of that stuff. Every part of our body has a function. And the whole body is made up of individual parts. And so he's saying that in the church, we are one church. We are one family. We are one body, but each one of us has a different part to play in that body. And he says, and each part belongs to the other. Do you know today that if you're a Christian, you belong to the church family? There is a place of belonging in the church community, a place where you belong. And it might be that in some other parts of your life, you don't feel that sense of belonging, but in Christ, as a believer in Jesus, you have a family where you belong, and we belong to one another. Not an ownership thing, but a brotherhood thing. And it says there that we each have gifts. And the word is charisma, grace, gifts, things being given to us by God, abilities that he gives us to serve one another. And so he goes on from this passage here, and he says, listen, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give and do it generously. And if it's leadership, then do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy cheerfully. He's basically saying to the Roman church, God has gifted every single one of you and made you individually unique to do something in the body of Christ that nobody else can do in quite the same way as you. So therefore, get on and do it. The evangelists evangelize. The teachers teach. The administrators administrate. Those with the gifts of help, help other people. If you know what your gift is, look for ways to use that gift to serve others, is what Paul is saying. We each belong to one another. We have gifts that God has given us. We are unique in the body of Christ. No one has the same experiences, personality, and gifting in quite the same mix as us. That means that we have a unique and important part to play, every single one of us. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say this. Love must be sincere. And this is a theme that the Apostle Paul comes back to time and time again. And you know that the passages in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ and spiritual gifts, and then 1 Corinthians 14 where it talks about the practical outworking of some of those gifts, especially the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues, is the bread in the sandwich with the filling of 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter often read at weddings, the chapter on love. Love. And let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses. This is the Apostle Paul still. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, my words are just noises, sounds. They don't mean anything if I don't have love. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but that I don't have love, I gain nothing. And so the Apostle Paul is at this point, just after he's talked about the fact that we are the body of Christ, all of us plays an important part, that love is the key ingredient that makes everything work. In Colossians 3, Paul writes this. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Bear with one another. Forgive one another, just as Christ has forgiven us. And it says, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. Love is what makes church work. Love is the essence of the Christian faith. When Jesus was pressed to tell the world what he believed the greatest commandment was, he didn't hesitate. He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment. And on this, all of the law and the prophets hang. In other words, if you love God and love people, you fulfill the entire Old Testament law. Love is what makes community life work in church. Love is the essence of the Christian faith. And he goes on to expand on that in verse 10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Think about what devotion looks like for you. It might be that you can picture devotion in terms of a family member or a friend, to be devoted to them. But the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, these people that you've been thrown in with, these people who have different personalities and backgrounds, you might have a successful job and they might be on benefits, or these people might be gifted in this area and these people be gifted in other areas, or it might be that you have you're from one nation and these people are from another nation. It might be that you're young and they're old, and there are all sorts of differences, reasons why we wouldn't be united except for Jesus. And it says, love one another. In fact, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And so the question today is, as Christians in Hope Church in Corby, how can we be devoted to one another and express that devotion to one another through such a difficult time? I'll come back to that in a second. He goes on then to say, honor one another above yourselves. In the ESV, it talks about outdoing each other in the area of honoring. How do we outdo each other in the area of giving honor to one another? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, recognizing that we're family, outdoing each other in the area of bringing honor to one another. And then he says, don't be lacking in zeal. Find that boiling point again of the Holy Spirit filling your life and overflowing from your life. I had a conversation, I have the privilege at the moment of mentoring a minister in training in Wellingborough, and I was on a Zoom call with her this week, and she was just sharing with me some exciting news from her family that she's been praying for years and years and years. And she said, a really strange thing's happened during lockdown. I've had telephone calls, even family members turning up on the door, knocking on the door and saying, listen, I know that you're a Christian and I know that you follow Jesus. I've just got this growing, they couldn't put it into words, but this growing desire in me to find out about Christianity. And so she invited some friends onto Zoom, some family members onto Zoom, and she explained to them the way of Jesus more fully. And two of them became Christians. And she also did a little Bible study about being filled with the Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And one of them said, well, can we do that now? And she said, yeah. And so they prayed with this family member, this older man, and this man received the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues on Zoom. Because the Holy Spirit isn't caged and he isn't locked down. He's still doing the same things that he's always done. And we are still the church and we still have this message that changes lives about a Jesus who has saved us from our sin and a Holy Spirit that fills our lives and a mission to reach the world in his name. Don't be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Be at boiling point for the Lord. Don't be lackluster. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be lacking in passion for Jesus. And so we won't cover the rest of this passage. It's something, you know, I always say about Romans 12, if I was ever stranded on a desert island and they offered me one chapter of the Bible to have and to meditate on, I'd have Romans 12 because it's so meaty and so practical. And so I would encourage you to go away and just to meditate on the exhortations in this passage. But the question we need to ask ourselves, just having looked at some of those verses, is, so what? Well, the so what is this, that the truth of who God is, that he is amazing, all-powerful, and all-loving, and that he loves us. He loved us so much, in fact, that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us, so that we could be made right with God, justified. And we lay hold of that by faith. It's not something we earn or deserve. We don't jump through religious hoops to get there. We receive it as a free gift. It's because of grace. And that he gives us his Spirit to work out this new life in Christ. Because Jesus lives, and because Jesus lives in me through his Spirit, those everyday moments of life turn into worship. And I worship God through my work. I worship God through my shopping expeditions. I worship God in doing the washing up. I worship God in how I serve my family and make meals. I worship God because I'm doing things now with a motivation that I want to honor and bring glory to Christ. And worship has many facets. How does this worship overspill into the life of community that is the church? That we realize that we are part of a family. That we are a brotherhood. The Bible calls us a household of faith. That we belong to one another. And because of that, we share life together. During lockdown, this time in November, back in March, we were stopped from meeting together in the way that we would like to. And some churches have reopened. We meet at Brookwest, and that means that we haven't been able to go back and meet in Brookwest. And we've had a couple of times when we've used St. Ninian's for prayer and share, but we haven't been able to meet together as we would like to. But I don't know if you're feeling the same way as me, but it's creating in me a longing for corporate worship and to be in his presence with my brothers and sisters. I even long to grab a cup of tea from Carol and Bernie, and I would just love to sit down in the Connect Lounge with Henry and his team and just meet some new people walking through the door. I would love to pop upstairs and see the smiling faces of our children in the rooms as they're doing their Hope Kids sessions, and I would love to go into the youth room and see a crowd of young people who are following Jesus. I would love that. I would love to sit next to somebody in the congregation on a Sunday morning and put my arm around them and say, you know, it's going to be all right. Jesus is with you, and pray a blessing over them. I would love to lay my hands on people during the prayer ministry time and pray God's blessing that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and that they would see breakthrough in their life. I would love to do all of those things. I would even love to get up early, put signs and banners and stuff up as part of the Set Up and Set Town team. I would love to be back together. We can't at the moment. And that means that some of the expressions of service that we've had in the past, we don't have now. Some of the teams and the rotas that we have, where people have relied on those to express their love and their heart of service towards others, they're not in place at the moment. And so what God is calling us to is love and devotion, but expressed differently. How do we express love and devotion differently during this time? And that's a question that I'm going to leave hanging, because what I would love you to do is take that question to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, you have given me abilities, grace, gifts, and you have given me your spirit. You have given me your abilities and your empowering to serve you by serving others. How can I serve others during this time? And God is the God of creation. He is a God of creativity, and he will maybe give you some ideas on how you can use your gifts to serve others during this time. I know for some that they've been doorstepping a few people in the church with gifts, especially over the Christmas period, and people were so blessed to receive those thoughtful gifts, acts of kindness. I know that other people have been picking up the phone and calling around just as the Lord has laid people on their hearts. They've been picking up the phone just to check if they're all right. And sometimes when we do that in response to a prompting of the Lord, we discover that it's exactly the right moment, that God has used you to bring a word of encouragement or even a word of comfort, challenge to people's lives just when they needed it. And for others, you've been for walks in the park, you've sat in other people's gardens when it's been allowed, and you've expressed love and kindness in practical ways. If you make cakes, or if you bake meals, what about finding somebody who's in need or lonely or feeling isolated at the moment, and using those gifts to bless and serve other people? Obviously, bearing in mind all the social distancing and the restrictions, but to leave a hot casserole on someone's doorstep to knock the door and run. Obviously, you need to get your dish back, so you'll need to let them know who did it. But God has given us abilities, and he's called us to be family. How do we express family during this time? I'll leave the challenge hanging. But just to let you know that in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to receive some people into partnership in Hope Church. And I had the privilege of spending some time on Zoom with a group of people who are committed to you and want to recognize that God has called them to be part of the Hope Church family for such a time as this. And we're going to receive them into partnership. But as we did, there were four things, and they'll be up here on your screen, that I emphasized as important parts of being together in partnership in the gospel during this season. The first one is this, that we gather weekly for our Sunday gatherings. We gather weekly. Now, this is obviously something that we do in person when we're allowed, and we look forward to the day when it comes. But can I encourage you, even though we're meeting online, to gather, to actually gather. And we were praying this morning before the service began, and we were saying, Lord Jesus, we thank you that when two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in our midst. There's a special manifestation of your presence. And we recognize that you're here with us now, but we pray as the church is gathered right around Corby and in the surrounding villages, in Rothwell, in Kettering, as the church is gathered in their front rooms, that you will meet with them and that they will meet with you, and we will feel that we're worshiping together even though we're gathered in a different kind of way. It's important that we gather. And there's a commitment in that that's an expression of love to one another. So yes, you can watch the live stream later because technology allows for that. But why not gather? Why not leave messages in the chat, prayers and encouragements for one another? The second thing was to participate fully in a life group or celebrate recovery. So to gather corporately and to be part of a small group, an expression of church that's smaller in number, where we can get to know other people well and they can get to know us well, where we can use our gifts and our talents, our abilities to serve other people, and they can use their gifts to serve us, where we can be equipped and built up to live for Jesus in the day to day, where people pray for us and encourage us and build us up. And so if you're not part of a life group, I would encourage you, please, look out a life group in Hope Church. There was something on one of the WhatsApp groups this morning that Paul Bauer's group, in response to a prophetic word, is going to start a new series in the purpose-driven life. And Maggie's ears pricked up because she's been reading through that book recently. But there are numerous groups in the church and some that I expect will be starting soon. And if you're not already part of a life group, even though they meet on Zoom and you don't like Zoom very much, it's a way of being connected to people. So be a part of a life group. Celebrate Recovery also operates on a Friday and also on Zoom at the moment. And this is for people with hurts, habits, hang-ups of any kind. And it's a place of support and community where you can apply biblical principles to your life and grow to increasing freedom in your life. That is alongside all of the other life groups that we have, and we value it highly, and we've seen great fruit from it. So that's another avenue of expressing a love and devotion to one another. So gather together weekly, participate fully in a life group or celebrate recovery. And then one of the things that we value highly as a church is that everybody has a ministry. So serving wholeheartedly in an area of ministry. Everyone in a life group, everyone with a ministry. And so I would encourage you, even during this strange time, to discover where your gifts are and to deploy them in service of the King for the good of his people. Where is your area of ministry, and are you using your gifts to serve him? And then finally, to give generously to support the work of God through Hope Church. To gather, to participate, to serve, and to give. And there are many ways that you can give in Hope Church. What we encourage all partners to do is to pray about how much the Lord wants them to give on a regular basis. So it's prayerful and it's generous. And it's not that we are twisting anybody's arm up behind their back and saying, you must. It's something that's between you and the Lord. But we want this to be an expression of devotion again to the body of Christ, so that we can see the work of God continue and thrive through the generous giving of people in the church. So there are four practical things I shared with the prospective partners. And let me say, in 2021, we want to see more of you become church partners. The reason we are putting such an emphasis on partnership at the moment is because we want to pray for our partners by name, and we want to encourage these partners to grow. We want to recognize that you have come under the covering of the elders, and we want to see a blessing in the church because of that commitment. And so if you're not already a church partner, it might be that you're fully involved in other ways, but we want you to consider becoming a church partner in the days to come, expressing that love and devotion to God and to his people and through that commitment.